Hello everyone, I'm Harshal Mehta and welcome back to our podcast channel Investonomy. In today's podcast, we have a word with the founder and CEO of Scriptbox, which has its presence in fintech space. Hi, Mr. Atul Singhal.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Harshal, and good afternoon to all our listeners.
Thanks for joining us and sharing your insights on what efforts are undergone in a startup like Scriptbox to make it this massive.
Thank you. It'll be my pleasure to share my thoughts.
We start with a very basic and a logical question, that what was the trigger point behind starting your venture, or what was the background behind Scriptbox?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And actually, as I record this broadcast, it's even more topical. The story actually starts in Dehradun, where I am currently for particular reasons. My parents live here in Dehradun. I was in the mutual fund industry or asset management industry for some years. I was used to work for Old Mutual in South Africa. And in those days, I was based in India, setting up an asset management company for Old Mutual. And we had applied for a SEBI license to do the whole lot of wealth management and manufacturing of assets, etc., an AMC. I heard a conversation between my father, God bless his soul, a lieutenant general in the army, at that time about 75 years old, and my mother, and they were discussing a certain sum of money which had to be given to for investments. And my father says, "Ye Javed bhai ko de dete hain. We'll give this to Javed to invest." And my mother says, no, you can't do that. We'll give it to Mrs. Sharma because she gives me 2,000 rupees back. And this carried on for some time. And I asked my father that what is the purpose of this investment? He said, "Doesn't matter, you don't ask all this." And I was quite amused. He knew I was the CEO of an asset management company. But when I checked around, the story actually repeated in every house. Investment was basically based on very poor advice or basically based on gut feel. And people were just too confused or scared of the whole topic of stock markets and investments. And hence, we decided that we needed to simplify this. I met a like-minded person who was an alma mater from IIM Bangalore, Sanjeev Singhal, who had a similar story from his own family and his friends. And we decided that since we understood the industry, I mean, it's not that we were new to it. He's been in wealth management. I talked about my background. We felt there was a better way. There had to be a better way to serve the needs of the common investor in India. And that's how Scriptbox began. It started as a simple idea to clean up the entire ill-served, underserved industry. It actually is what you would call a genuine garage startup. So we started it in a garage with sort of six people. And that's about seven years ago now. And God's been very kind. And we've been able to scale it to a certain size now.
Having understood your background or the journey of how it started, what we understand back in, let's say back 7 years back, there were, at least India point of view, Indians have a trust issues on whether a online startup, where there is no face-to-face communication behind one particular app you invest, how did you end up building trust in the Indian customers? Or to be more precise, what was the customer acquisition cost for Scriptbox?
So yeah, you absolutely hit the nail on its head. We've always believed that Scriptbox is actually a consumer brand. It's a trust brand. We've done everything in our power to make sure we fulfill in that trust in the money the people sort of invest through us. In terms of acquisition cost, obviously it's changed over time. This is a word of mouth business, right? The more customers you acquire, the more they tell their friends and their families that this is a great experience and hence follow. So we've been lucky that way, and that word of mouth has been strong. Our early adopters were great brand ambassadors for us. We did focus on the early savers. So people who were already digitally native, who were comfortable with doing things online. So our earlier positioning was to keep it extremely simple. And the fact that people liked what we were doing. And I think obviously the credibility of the founders themselves, without sounding very vain, the fact that I am from IIT Madras, I am Bangalore, Sanjeev has a similar background. We were funded by Axel Partners. So all of that gave us credibility. But most importantly, it was the simplicity and what customers experienced, which allowed us to continue to acquire customers at scale over time.
One of the points which you mentioned in your answers was that you have been funded, to be more precise, last year Series C funding had been done by Scriptbox. So one particular question which today's founders or the people, entrepreneurs have in mind is, what is your take on the growth of a startup? Like whether they should have external fundings or they should go for the next best position, normally being adopting of bootstrapping?
It's horses for courses, Harsha. Depends entirely on the business you're building, the scale you want to achieve, and also the relative investments required. So there are businesses which are fundamentally designed around bootstrapping, self-funded. And I believe even if you're funded through a VC, you have to believe the way you spend the money is as if you are bootstrapping. So you use the money for very specific purposes, either for gaining marketing traction or hiring talent in terms of engineering or investing in technology, which is the standard piece. So there is no one answer for everybody. Try to build the business based on revenues. Businesses built or businesses started with the idea that I would raise funding. And there are enough entrepreneurs on that. I mean, I do mentor a few entrepreneurs. I am part of NSR Cell. And what shocks me is when you meet entrepreneurs whose primary purpose of starting the business is to get funded. That is fundamentally flawed. You have to start the business, or you have to run a business believing it will grow, believing it will be profitable. To reach a certain scale, you might require investments, and that's absolutely appropriate. So I don't have a straight answer whether you should bootstrap or get funded. You should design a business around a fundamental revenue model. To hit that scale and size, you will require investments at some points, especially in B2C businesses. Like you said, the cost of acquisition at times in India is quite large, and to get over to a certain scale and to accelerate your growth. So what happens with investments is that what might take 7 years, you can probably do it in 3 years. That's the difference. But the core business has to be built on the premise of profitability. And do not, I repeat, do not start a business because you want to raise capital. You will not succeed.
That is indeed, as you mentioned, a flawed idea to begin with. Given the Indian space, because normally I won't say Indians or maybe the Indian consumers go behind the discounting based model, but in the current scenario, what it is seen that discounting based models and deep discounts basically are thrown towards the customers in order to attract them. Do you think deep discounting based models won't help a startup, would or would not help a startup to grow on a long-term perspective, at least in the Indian economy?
So I completely agree with you, Harshal, that deep discount models are the incorrect thing to do. They might be good for the consumer, and all of us are probably beneficiaries of Ola and Uber and other businesses which have helped us trial something new. Yes, if you want to do some free trials or build a freemium model where you want people to experiment or test your product, maybe it's appropriate to do some discounting. But to build a business on a negative gross margin, or to build a business which has no revenue models, as some players in the fintech space have, is fundamentally flawed. So my belief is that discounting for a very specific purpose to get a customer to trial it is probably appropriate in some cases, especially in the initial days. But very, very quickly, every customer has to be a paid customer who's paying you value. If they don't see value in what you're doing, why would they stay with you? Because if they're chasing a discount, the next best discount will attract them next. So unless a customer sees tremendous value in the services you offer, unless a customer is loyal to your brand because of the experiences they are having, they will not stay. So especially if they come only for a discount. So while, yeah, it is attractive and it probably gets you the old eyeballs and gets you maybe some volumes, these businesses, I believe, are going to struggle to sort of stand the test of time. And what happens typically, Harshal, in these so-called deep discounted model, there is a flawed premise, or at least a flawed promise, or a flawed hope in the eyes of the entrepreneur, that I will cross-sell this customer something else. So the number of business models you will see where they will say that I will attract you with a deep discount, say in our industry, through direct funds. And then they will try to cross-sell you a loan, or they will try to cross-sell you an insurance or some such other model. So that's where I believe that these fundamentally flawed business models will not stand the test of time.
Especially during the COVID times.
It gets further accelerated. Slowdown or the fall down will probably get exacerbated. But the fundamental flaws are always there. They'll just probably take, they normally take slightly longer to show through. And like you said, in COVID, when the tide is down, like Warren Buffett said, you'll see who's wearing how many clothes.
Right. So in the recent months, we understand that Scriptbox is planning to cater services into international markets. So on this particular premise or on this backdrop, we would like to question you that when should a founder think that their product can compete into the international markets with the foreign products or services, or when a founder should be satisfied that he can go ahead and produce or, you know, launch their product or services in the foreign market?
Oh, Harshal, that's actually nearly three questions wrapped into one. And I'll try to give the answers separately. First and foremost, Scriptbox's positioning of offering our services internationally is basically catering to the Indian abroad, right? So we have reached out to the non-resident Indians, especially in the Gulf countries, where we believe that they are anyway investing in India and typically have invested in illiquid assets like real estate or otherwise. And we have said that there is a better way. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, there is a better way. You can manage your money better. You can see it grow better. Okay. It's more because it's an online experience. The customer has visibility of their investment at all the times, and it's well advised. So hence Scriptbox is basically making it easier for people who live abroad but have an interest in the India story to invest through us. So that's the primary purpose of what we are doing in terms of Scriptbox. The second question you asked is, when should a founder look to go abroad or start offering their services abroad? When they are competent enough, like you said, when they feel they're ready. Especially for enterprise businesses, the reality is that foreign customers tend to pay more dollar per unit than Indians do. As I always joke, that Indians negotiate wholesale and buy retail, right? So they'll ask you for 1,000, how much will you charge me? And then they'll buy one. And that's just the nature of the Indian customer, unfortunately. Whereas the international customers tremendously are more conscious of value you're giving them. And so they are value driven. India is cost driven. So for entrepreneurs who are doing businesses which can find customers abroad, I would highly advise that do try abroad. It's better for the business in the long term. Thirdly, when are you ready? When you have quality. One absolute need for anything abroad is that quality has to be world class. Otherwise, you will get rejected. It's not that Indian customers don't like quality, but because of some of the discounting, because some of the habits, you can get away with lesser. We at Scriptbox have always believed that we are good enough to play in the international markets. And I mean, we have always had customers. The reason we did what we did about 4 months ago and accelerated our investment in the international customer acquisition or international customer access was essentially because we had huge demand coming in from abroad. So customers were asking us, how do you make it easier? So then we made processes easier. We reached out to these customers. We are having conversations. So I hope I've answered your question, not directly, but in three parts.
Yes. Having known that Scriptbox is entering into foreign markets, one question which hits the mind is, how does Scriptbox try and make it more updated or relevant in the current times, where there are too many competitors entering into the fintech space?
Oh, absolutely. That's a very, very important question. It's about actually sort of trying to stay ahead of the curve, introducing more solutions. So like I said, when we started Scriptbox a few years ago, we were catering to the needs of our early savers, as we'd call them. They had a very simple need. They wanted to get started. We were actually completely contrary to the entire industry. Scriptbox actually started with only 4 funds. So we had a basket called Long Term Wealth, which had 4 equity funds. And remember, there were 5,000 schemes or funds available at that point in time. And part of our purpose was to clean up this complexity. We have expanded over time. We now advise, or we basically recommend, about 26 or 28 funds across different asset allocation needs. So as our customers have grown with us, and we've attracted customers slightly later in their sort of wealth stage and life stage, we've expanded our offerings. So to answer your question, we are always on the lookout for adding more features and functionality as our customers grow with us. And yes, it is a competitive market. And the reason we believe Scriptbox continues to win, because it's got a pulse on what the customer needs in the future, not now. So I always say it's not about solving for what the customer is already thinking. It's for solving for what the customer is not thinking, especially in the financial services, especially in the wealth management investment space. If you're able to think on behalf of the customer on some of his at times unknown needs, unmet needs, say healthcare when you're going to get older, etc., which is normally not well identified. As an example, you were talking about the COVID time. We pushed the emergency fund very hard. So we have a strong belief that everybody should have at least 6 to 9 months, if not more, of sort of expenses, their given monthly expenses, about 6 to 9 months of that, parked in a liquid fund for any emergency, job loss, health, whatever. And we actually pushed very hard. And if you know the industry, you probably make the least amount of money in liquid funds compared to the equity funds. Okay. But we promoted liquid funds or the emergency fund pot very heavily for especially this need. We said, see, this is a great time for you to realize that emergencies do happen, and make sure your pot for emergency funds is topped up. And then you can look after your other investment needs. So that's just probably one of the ways we try to differentiate and make sure we're meeting the existing and future needs of our customers.
All right. Before winding up our podcast, one last question. If our listeners, or let's say anyone who wants to get associated with Scriptbox, they understand that investing in mutual funds is their foray, but what are the future plans of Scriptbox?
Thanks, Harshal, for that question. We do distribute, we see ourselves and we behave as a wealth advisor to our customers or a wealth manager. And so what is wealth management all about? It's about understanding the customer's needs and his goals, understanding the risk appetite, and then offering the appropriate asset allocation to meet those wealth needs of their customers. When we started, we were obviously catering to the early savers, and their needs were comparatively simpler. So hence we started with the 4 funds we talked about. As the markets have matured, our customers' wealth has grown with us. We are attracting customers in the later parts of their wealth stage and life stage. We are offering more solutions. What we are doing increasingly is the kinds of asset allocation and the kind of sub-asset classes where we offer solutions is expanding. We are in the process of adding insurance, because you need for everybody as part of their wealth management, they also need to protect themselves. Then, and only life and health is what we would offer there. We're adding direct equity, we're adding international equity. But in all of these cases, we would see this as part of a larger customer basket or a customer solution. So people who are interested in joining Scriptbox can expect a holistic wealth solution which gives them the single view of all their needs, whether it's their children's education, whether it's their retirement planning, whether it's that holiday next year, whether it's the car in 5 years from now, whether it is their for retired people, their monthly expenses, or it's just growth requirements as they go with us. So depending on their need, there are solutions available. But what helps a customer from a Scriptbox perspective is that he gets a single view of this. So they've got different plans. So he might be investing, say, 1 crore for sending the child abroad. or they might be spending a 10 lakh for a car to be replaced in 3 years. But depending on your various goals, you're able to visualize all of it in one place and create what we call those jam jars. And I believe that's the right way to be managing money anyway.
Agreed. A 360-degree approach will be expected.
Yes, thank you for that, Harshal.
Sure, thanks a lot for joining us, and it was really insightful, and thanks for giving us your time.
I really appreciate, Harshal, thank you for everything. Before I sign off, and I do mentor a few startups, and as just a suggestion, one thing I always tell startups, please, when you're starting something, three things to take care of: build your business on a solid revenue model, not on the hope of a revenue model. Secondly, invest in sales. A lot of tech entrepreneurs are highly focused on only the technology part. I believe that you should definitely have a salesperson or somebody who's good at sales and marketing, who can understand the customer pulse and actually sell, get the product out there. WhatsApp as a product happens rarely. Most of the products need to be sold. So find somebody who can sell for you. And thirdly, build a solid team. I mean, these are all standard stuff, but the first two people don't look at. And third, obviously, just go and invest in a very, very good team. And these three things should get you started well. And then obviously it's down to execution. So thanks, Harshal. Sorry, I answered a question.
No. That was really very good. And just to add on that particular point, the first two points were really very good, at least in the current times where everyone is looking out only for valuations and not looking out for profits. They feel that valuation should be first triggered, and then they can obviously, after a point in time, they can look out for profits. So that was really very good.
Thank you very much, Harshal. Thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for inviting us at Scriptbox and having me on your show. And wish you all the best. I really enjoy your podcast. Thanks, Harshal. Do well.
No material on this podcast should be considered as a financial advice. The material on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The views represented here are personal and do not represent any organization.